want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm the Meat for the Beast Batman Special. Bam!
Hi, welcome to episode 5 of Meat for the Beast and the second part of our Batman special. This was recorded round at our friend Hal Walker's. Hal's affectionately known as the Grimsby Lantern, being named after Hal Jordan, who is the Green Lantern, and also originally Hal's an East Coast dwelling type, into his fisherman's friends and Captain Birdseye, and has smoke kippers under his coat every day, that kind of thing. Hal's a bit of a game expert, that's why we wheeled him in. He's written a game column for years in various magazines. And Hal's an all-round good guy, so it's good to have him on board for the last couple of episodes. So moving on, we're in the middle of talking about Bat games. After that, we talk briefly about the 60s show and then move on to the feature films. From listening to a podcast called Electric Soup Kitchen, that was made by a friend of Michael Marcus, he sometimes would drop in old-timey radio excerpts. And I was able to track down a couple of shows with Batman on. And it was from a series called The Adventures of Superman, I think, which ran apparently between 1940 and 1951. So there was a bit of a sort of kind of post-war propaganda vibe going on. They seemed to have a bit of an agenda to try and get Americans to come out of isolationism and chip in to help Europe out in the wake of World War II. And Superman's played by an actor called Bud Collier, and I believe Batman's played by a chap called Stacey Harris, who was both of whom were kind of stars of the day in kind of TV and radio. And the Batman guy, Stacey Harris, also appeared in shows like Dragnet. So without further ado, we'll go back to myself, Beastmaster McVeigh, and the Grimsby Lantern, where we're in the middle of talking about the Batman Begins video game. Boom!
The floor is now yours, really. You took on a lot of the bat shit that came out.
Yeah, I did. I had an Amiga, and then there was no Batman games to be on it. And then I got a PlayStation, and I remember playing the EA, I think EA made it, the adaptation of Batman Begins. Which it came with it. I didn't buy it. It came with the PlayStation, and it wasn't shit.
Okay.
It even had, like, interestingly, you know, Tim Booth plays Victor Zsasz in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't say a word in the film.
Yeah.
He does the voice of Victor Zsasz in the video game.
Oh, okay.
Everyone from the film's in the video game, except for, I'm going to say Morgan Freeman or someone. But everyone else is. Is
King Joffrey in it?
Oh, Joffrey, little bastard. Oh, the other kids won't believe me. Fuck you. Here's a batarang. Fuck off. Oh, little Joffrey. I hate his face.
Better than he deserved.
When Batman visits Blade Runner World in Begins.
It's good.
It's all good.
It was a decent game. The Dark Knight never got a game, understandably. Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight didn't get a game.
No game. No, okay. There was supposed to be one, but
didn't
make a game of it.
Maybe they were just let's let it settle, and then boom, have that Arkham Asylum.
That was a game changer.
Arkham Asylum. It was strong. I mean, the best part about it was the fact that it was actually really, really good. I mean, we've had this just steady feed of shit Batman games since 1990.
I think I might have said this to you, like I'll watch and I'll consume any old shit media.
Any old horse
because it's got that on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll watch a shit Batman cartoon. I'll watch a shit Transformers cartoon because it's Transformers. And I think I played that Batman game because it was Batman. Arkham Asylum was the first bona fide game as an adult that was actually an actual worthwhile game that happened to be Batman as well.
Yeah, it was a revelation, and it just, do you know, it was about time. Batman's a great character. This is why we're putting a podcast together about him.
Yeah.
And finally, a video game just worthy of it. One where, instead of just pissing around punching people in the dick with a batarang, you assume the mantle of the bat. You are the knight.
Yeah.
It's it was quite the it was quite special even to this day.
I did have a great day with the follow-up. Was Arkham City, was it?
Arkham City, yeah. Different game, but still very good. Still very good, yeah.
I think it improved on Arkham Asylum.
Personally, I do. You'll get your purists who like the penned inness, the insanity driven and stuff. But yeah, the city expanded and just went in new places. And the second you get your second upgrade to your bat winch, get you up in the air thing. That's it. The huge city that took like 10 minutes to get across. All of a sudden, boom! 20 seconds, you're on the other side of the map.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
So I did get, like, my birthday a couple of years ago, my brother-in-law Steve, I asked him to bring it all. I don't have a PlayStation, so he brought it round, and both got stoned and became Batman for the day.
No.
It was probably one of the best days of my life. It shows how fucking amazing my life is.
But you have had a wedding and the birth of a daughter in that life as well.
Yeah, that's... oh yeah, it's my little girl's first birthday this weekend, so...
You've got a kid.
So happy birthday. Happy birthday, Roisin.
Happy birthday.
If she ever after I kill myself decides to listen back to all this stuff, find out what her dad was. Happy birthday, love.
Yeah, nice this to meet you. Yeah. What's her name? Roisin.
Roisin. It means the little rose.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's Paddy name, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, as in Roisin Murphy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. It was. She wasn't named after Roisin Murphy, but no issues with Roisin Murphy.
Don't flatter yourself, Murphy. Jesus.
I met Roisin Murphy once. Yeah. She was really friendly. She used to know Becky, who used to work with. I went to see one of her gigs. So a bit of name dropping.
Nice one.
Yeah.
So where now for Batman games? Because I think we all had that Batman Origins caper.
Origins, Rocksteady make the Arkham games, and they hand the reins over to some other chimps. I forget who they are, but
dipshit tech.
They just kind of broke it. The combat just fell to shit and just turned into a just gloss over it. Let's move on. It just didn't have that much going for it.
So what's the next one? It's not Arkham World, is it? Or some shit?
Arkham Knight.
That does look pretty damn good. That's making me want to buy a fucking PlayStation, whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's got the Batmobile in it, hasn't it? Which looks pimp as fuck.
It's I honestly don't actually know that much about it. I've taken a step back from actual investigative video game enthusiasm. Now I just sit there and wait for things to wash over me. But certainly, it was supposed to be released in the next month or so, but it's been put back till next year. I know that much.
Was Arkham City put back a bit?
Oh, no. I got it on the day it came out, and we had a gig that night. I was at work, it was in my hand, and I had to go home, and I put it in and watched the intro and had to leave for sound check. And my heart wasn't in that gig at the Washington that night.
Well, it's fair enough. You weren't even on the gig. You were on the fucking floor.
I wasn't. There was a picture of me
on the stage.
That does explain it. There's a picture of me at that gig, and I kind of look kind of distant, vacant, and elsewhere. And now it all makes sense. Yeah.
All you had to drink was two tins of Three Fosters.
Oh fuck me! Jesus Christ!
Was that the rider?
That's the rider.
You hearing us, Washington? You're a fucking joke among bums. Two tins of fucking Foster. Or maybe if we're lucky, some fucking Strongbow. What the fuck is...
Why did he always buy shit beer for...
Don't know. Why don't you just give us the beer that you're selling?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, beer that you're selling. They probably get that cheaper because they get more of it. More importantly, why do they push it into a shaft of sunlight so it starts cooking? Bits popping off like... like off the back of Mogwai's back when he gets wet.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Basically, to finish this off, we got Arkham Knight next year, and that looks to continue this trend of strong Batman games. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm hearing.
I did go on YouTube to try. In fact, in preparation for today, there was a couple of little little snippets of the game from like the company making it. And one cool thing, we're not only visiting the circus to meet my Vazal mate, Circus Boy. it's going to have Jason Todd in it. Looking pretty smooth pimp.
Well,
so what kind of Todd are we talking? Like
Dick Todd,
as the
Dick Todd, proper psycho bash shit.
As the Red Hood, with a, and he looks pretty cool. He's almost got like a Cronin it's sort of like a cross between, is it Cronin from Hellboy?
Yeah.
Cross between him and like a sort of Chav or something.
Nice one.
Got a hoodie up over a sort of vaguely Cronin looking mask.
I'll take that.
So it's pretty sweet actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're not fighting back tonight, we know.
I'm not, look, work in the circus, that's actually a statement of fact, so
oh my god. But what you were telling me recently, Dick Grayson, it's got a whole new shtick, like they've made him like a Bond character.
Yeah, it's like a spy, didn't you?
Oh yeah, Grayson, yeah. Sorry.
We've got cat.
It's okay, she'll be fine. We can still hear the mic. Can we still hear it?
Alright. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Me talking. No. Nice one, dickhead.
I don't see why. The cat wants in.
Don't claw me.
What are we talking about?
Dick Grayson. What's it called?
It's just called Grayson, yeah. Did you read it?
No. I didn't know how to read it.
I gave it to you.
Did you? Didn't.
Did I not?
No, you just sent me a link to the front cover.
Oh, that was big of me, wasn't it? I've sat there reading it with my foot up by the pole and saying, here, smell these crumbs. Grayson is... he's a while back, I've forgotten. Yeah, just very tech-savvy spy. I think there's a woman in it as well. There would be, though.
Yeah.
Grayson's quite eligible.
Yeah, of course.
He's drawn eligible. Yeah. Especially, is it? So at least, not on the Red Hood.
If he's done with Nightwing, then at least it means I can complete my collection.
Yeah,
got
exactly.
First 100 of Volume 1. I'm only going to buy another 60 of when he's wearing the red outfit. Some shit.
Yeah. Surely it'll be Nightwing again at some point. I reckon that's picking that up, to be honest. If the cat's brushing his bristles against it. His whiskers. Apologies if there was a sound of a cat's whiskers there.
So yeah, final chunk now.
Yeah, everyone knows all about the movies, but you know.
Here we go.
Let's not piss around, let's start at the beginning.
We've spoken about the Adam West TV series, actually.
As I say, that's starting at the beginning, the 1966 Batman movie.
I suppose you've got the.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
We've got the early stuff, but I'm a bit vague on that. You know, what's it? I can't remember his name.
We're not even authorities on that.
The video I showed you earlier where I painted my friend as the evil Dr. Dakar. I stole Dr. Dakar from the 40s. Is it 40s Batman?
Sounds about right.
40s, 50s. And what I'll tell you about Dr. Dakar was... Okay. America's relations with the Far East, with the Orient, they were strange, shall we call it. So, but Dr. Dakar was an Oriental type. So they just yellowed up a small American guy and tied his eyes back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
To be fair, they did that with Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's when he's playing the Chinese nobody lives upstairs giving shit all the time. Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. With everyone's favourite poster girl, Audrey.
Yeah.
Favourite film they never fucking saw.
She does look fit in it, so, you know.
She looks a bit weird to me. She's like an alien.
Do you want me to tell you what's wrong with Audrey Hepburn? She's this beautiful woman. I wish I looked like a young Audrey Hepburn. Give me what girls say. But the state of them fucking eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you imagine? If they're unkempt, what else are we looking at?
Yeah.
She's probably got hair from the neck down, like the Blair Witch or something. She floats along.
Spiders waving at you from the ass cheeks.
Yeah, you don't need that, man. I mean, 80s Bush is bad enough, but God knows what fucking... 60s.
We're turning to 70s sexists now. It sounds well.
We're covering all the decades in this.
All the eras.
Get off the bag.
Got the cat shoes here.
Seriously, get off it.
Is my cat really hitting your back?
Ow, fuck off.
Cat abuse. So
that's McVeigh falling foul of a creature about a 60 of his size.
It's clawing me. Fucking drawing blood.
Having learned that the famous Batman and the wealthy Bruce Wayne were one and the same person, a mysterious man who called himself Mr. Jones persuaded Batman to go away with him under the threat of revealing his secret. Then, holding Batman prisoner, Jones sent a man who looked very much like Batman and who had been trained to impersonate him to Metropolis, where he made un-American speeches and led Robin, Batman's young companion, into an ambush. While Superman was trying to locate Jones, who he had learned was really a rabble-rouser named Mort Beeler, Batman and Robin, chained to the wall in an old revolutionary barracks, knocked out a henchman of Jones's, who ventured too near and searched him, hoping to find a gun with which they could free themselves from their chains. But the man was without a gun. Their last hope gone, the dynamic duo could only stand by helplessly as Jones entered the long, dimly lit room. And Jones did have a revolver.
What are you two up to, huh?
Don't mind us, Jonesy. We're just playing patty cake with your gorilla.
Really? And you won't play any more games, because I'm going to take care of
comes
you both right now.
Quick, Robin, drop to the floor behind Jones, pal. Leave this.
Hey, what are you two up to now?
Drop your gun, Jones. I've got you covered.
Holy smokes.
What? Don't make me laugh, Batman.
This is no joke. I've got your gorilla's gun.
What a bluff.
What?
You heard me, Jones. Now drop your gun or I'll shoot.
Help! Ed, Jimmy!
Stop, Jones. Help! Stop or I'll shoot.
He's gone, Batman. He fell for the old shell game.
Sure, he's yellow. I never knew a rabble-rouser that wasn't.
What do you think he'll do now?
He'll probably come back with reinforcements.
Oh, here he comes.
Stand back. The first guy who pokes his head in here gets a bullet in his head. See that, Robin?
Yeah, they duck back like rats in their holes. But now what, Batman? We won't be able to fool him forever.
Yeah, I know. Up on your feet, chum. Come on.
What's the gimmick?
We've got to make another try to snap these chains.
Are you kidding? We've already tried for hours.
I know, but we've got to try again. Now, come on now. Put your foot against the wall and then throw yourself backward.
Okay. Oh, it's no use, Batman. It won't break.
No, I guess you're right, Robin. We're not getting any place.
I wonder what friend Jonesy is up to now.
Oh, something rotten. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. Hey, wait. What's that?
What?
Do you smell smoke?
Gee whiz, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, now I hear something burning, too. Listen.
Holy smokes. This joint is on fire.
What's that?
Batman and Robin, if it gets too hot in there, call up the fire department.
Uh-oh.
Batman, John set this place on fire to finish us.
Right, Robin. Yes. Looks as if we've jumped right out of the frying pan into the fire.
Coughing as the smoke begins to swirl through the long, low room, Batman and Robin realize that their final desperate ruse has now also ended in failure. Meanwhile, in the farmhouse of William Hempel, where papers are strewn all over the floor, Superman and Hempel have been unable to locate the envelopes bearing the name and address of Mort Beeler, alias Mr. Jones.
You said you were sure those envelopes were here, Mr. Hempel.
They was, Superman. Like I told you, Beeler sent him asking for contributions to his no-good society.
Well, then where are they?
Beats me. All I can think is maybe me or my wife threw them out.
Oh, great Scott, what'll I do? I've got to find Jones, Beeler's address, because I'm sure he's holding Batman and Robin someplace.
I sure wish I could help you, Superman.
Wait, Mr. Hempel. You say this man Beeler goes around the countryside making speeches and trying to get support for his Let Europe Starve campaign.
Yeah. Then he sends letters to the people who heard him speak asking for money.
Well, if he's spoken around here and sent you letters, he must have sent letters to some of your neighbors, too.
Why, sure. I was speaking to Sam Hoffmeyer just the other day about it. Sam says he got a letter, but...
Where does Hoffmeyer live?
His farm's just the other side of Meafield on the turnpike.
Good. I'll find him. See you later, Mr. Hempel, and thanks. Up! Up! And away! Mr. Hempel says you got a letter from this man, Mort Beeler, too, Mr. Hoffmeyer, asking you to contribute to his un-American campaign.
Yep, I did, Superman.
Well, tell me, have you a
but
copy?
But he won't get no money from me.
No, but I...
I want to say, we got to help them poor folks over there.
Yes, yes, of course we do. But what about the letter? Do you still have it?
Let's see. I reckon so.
Oh, well, will you show it to me, please? It'll give me Beeler's address.
Well,
and then
hold on, hold on. Seems to me I seen it over here in the football.
Oh?
Well, usually we keep all letters and papers and such in here.
Well, is it there?
Nope, I don't seem to be here now.
Oh, now how will I find Bill?
Wait a minute. I kind of recollect taking it upstairs to Sari the other day.
Sarah?
Yeah, that's my wife. She's been ailing some, so I took her up whatever letters and papers was around for to pass the time.
Yes. Well, will you please see if the letter is upstairs, Mr. Hoffmeyer?
Yep, pull right up now. You just wait.
I will, but hurry, please. Every second counts.
Anxiously, Superman waits for Sam Hoffmeyer to seek out the precious letter from rabble-rouser Mort Beeler, alias Mr. Jones. Meanwhile, the ancient prison barracks, set in a vast, desolate countryside, is blazing furiously as Batman and Robin, chained in the center of the burning structure, are helpless. What will happen? We'll be back in a moment for the dramatic climax of today's episode, so keep listening.
Okay, we're back with Adam West, the Adam West Batman movie.
Right, he's not here. He's not here.
I wish he was. Can anyone do an Adam West impression?
No.
I can give you this.
Could there be secret writing in this document?
Changed my little life. Saw it when I was 4. I can remember it very well, because I'd just been to Whirlow Farm or something. And my mum's friend said, "Oh, Batman's on tonight." I was like, What's that? I only knew kind of Superman and Spidey at the time. Yeah.
Do you remember when you remember TVAM?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they went on strike?
Yeah.
And every morning they put on an episode of Batman.
Well, that triggered my collecting. And my friend David O'Callaghan gave me one of his Batman comics, and that was on at the time. And that's what got me hooked, really. That was my... We should have done Batman Origins, shouldn't we? What for you guys?
I remember seeing the Adam West show on the TV as a youth, and I remember being aware of Batman, but I never had any kind of real affinity for it until I got really excited about the Burton Batman.
Yeah.
I remember it was the first 12 certificate film.
It was, yes.
Yeah. And I was 9, and my dad got me into the cinema, and I was like, shit, this is good, and I lapped up everything. I think it was the Burton Batman, the very existence of it was what triggered my Batman love.
Yeah.
It was strong. I remember that summer I went to see it 12 times.
12 times? Or
maybe 13 times, actually. 12 times.
Oh, man, duff of the cap there.
That beats me. I thought I was doing well with 8.
Jesus. I only saw it once, boys. But,
Yeah,
highest rated Batman film to date.
None of that 12A shit. Tommy Lee shit.
None of that 12A shit.
It wasn't. No, it was just a 12.
It was a 12, yeah. It was like.
But they didn't have certificates for that on video, so it was 15 on video.
Yes.
That was weird, though, wasn't it?
Awesome.
What was that about?
I don't know.
Just changing times. I'm just glad we were there to see it. We straddle a generation of folk, the people before us. They only knew PG 15s and 18s. Yeah. Afterwards, 12A was a normal deal for us. We saw the sea change.
Yeah. One great moment in my life, which sounds really lame, but because I'd just gone through the whole, I'd had a Batman renaissance where all the sort of great 80s Bat books had just come out, and just kind of read all them, and I didn't even realise. I'd heard rumours of a Batman film, and it was obviously pre-internet, and then went to the cinema to see something else, and there was that fucking Bat trailer with him in the Batwing, and Jack Nicholson sort of doing the old I didn't ask, patronising his girlfriend and stuff.
It was special. I mean, not only was it special in and of itself, I mean, I actually watched it quite recently, and it's a lot
25 years this year.
It's a lot twee-er than I remember.
It's a black comedy, isn't it?
But at the time, it was like watching the fucking moon landing. I've never seen anything like it. And it's going to see it.
Totally.
12, 13 times.
One thing I do want to say about it is something that Burton's never credited for. Okay, I mean, it's all sort of tinged with comedy, and it's, Danny Elfman's score, there's always xylophones kicking off and stuff, but those bat fights are fucking brutal. They're solid. Like, the first... first bat blow, the first real bat blow is like a
dirty, and the guy flips up on, he's like up in the air, and it's, they slow mo it a bit as well, and it's just there's a crunch, there's a context there, that a wince worthy beating.
Just remember this dirty, he does like a sort of, he's hiding behind the post or something, and then he comes in and he gives a like elbow to the solar plexus and fucking back fists it.
Barely looking like, at him, yeah.
And it's like the guy, the crunch it makes tells me that the guy's never fucking waking up.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sweet.
I think also it was more kind of powerful because for me personally, the only other Batman that we'd ever seen on screen was the Adam West Batman. So to see this dude, leather clad badass,
just
wasting heads,
it was a
bit of a wake up call, I guess.
Yeah, close by the guy did the Dune outfits and did Alien 3 as well.
Nice.
God, I fucking forgot his name. But
Nerdy Movie Minutia brought to you by Jim C.
But yeah, Batman Returns. I know you kind of like this fact, but it still bothers me. There's a lot of those circus knobheads that are hanging out with the Penguin, and
the mime people. The mime.
But there's a bit where like the Batmobile just essentially turns on itself, and there's some dipshits there, and he just pulls on the afterburners and sets the guy on fire.
It's lazy like, and burning, dries off.
You know, there's a man,
and he falls in through a window.
I know you're not. I know you're not up with guns and stuff. But this is like you're kind of same, you find a loophole here. You're
a right flamethrower. It's just okay. Where's the line?
Best bit about Batman Returns is he basically saves Selina Kyle, and she's trying to talk to him, and he just stands there blankly staring through, and then just walks off, leaving her talking like a fucking idiot.
I had a huge poster of Michelle Pfeiffer hanging over my bed for a good deal of my teen years.
You do right. You do right.
Yeah. If that poster could satiate, make your bones bend. Well, actually, when the first one came out, the 89 one came out, me and a friend worked out bush shelters with posters for adverts of films in.
Yeah.
If you took two matchsticks and stuck them underneath two holes, the whole thing just whipped open. And the posters would just fall out. So I've got it. Anyway, I'm 12. I'm not fully grown. I'm not the full man you see before you. I was a tiny, tiny little man. So it was me and this other guy that I'd roped in. I'm like, cooking hell, help me get this back to my house. And we're basically carrying this looking, I don't know, what's bigger than A-North? It was just like twice A-North. It was just like some kind of fucking weird magic carpet. Let me get it home. And like, oh, get out. Thank God no one saw us. And my dad gave me a fiver for it. Yeah. He approved of crime, my dad, in many ways.
And then he kept the poster?
Well, to be honest, I had it up for a bit.
Right.
In my room, in credit where it's due. But it was kind of, I mean, what a big house. It was up, it was like a ceiling to the floor. It was outrageous. I had no business owning this piece of fucking paraphernalia.
I also remember the local ice cream man at Millhouse's Park. He had his whole van like customised with Batman stuff, and he was quite an old guy. I think he liked the film, but he was really just doing it to kind of, you know, get kids to buy his ice cream, and. He asked me because I said, "Oh, I really love Batman." He's like, "Oh, do you think this would make you and your friends buy ice cream?" And I gave him a very candid answer. Just said, "No, not really." And then I realised he's wearing his Batman tie, and he looked really sad.
Do you like puppies? Do you like puppies? I've got some Batman as well. Oh, trying to do what I can here.
We'll get through one episode without any pedo fiddling.
Just follow me to my research windowless black van.
Call it the Batcave. You probably won't.
But going back to Batman Returns.
Just a heads up, the guy out there in the van, he hasn't got any Batman materials.
Batman Returns, like now that I know what a Tim Burton film is, I kind of like it. But at the time, it was a bit like, it's very Tim Burton, isn't it? And the first one kind of isn't, really, is it?
Yeah.
It's like a kind of cross between the Tim Burton film and the normal sort of hero flick. And the second one's very, you know, like that Burton palette, like gothic, that very gothic vibe, lots of mimes and clowns.
Is Batman Returns technically a Christmas film in the way that Die Hard is?
Which works. Yeah.
It's set at Christmas, so
Yeah, that works.
Certainly snowy.
Batmobile riding on the, you know, on fresh snow. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Cruising around.
Mm.
Keeping a presence.
How much time do the Schumachers...
We can gloss over them. I think Batman...
We've got to do it. Come on.
Batman Forever was produced by Burton, so that was kind of an in-betweener element.
Okay, I will give Batman Forever is that it returned to the values of the 60s Adam West Batman.
Yeah,
the overblown death traps and the colour of the wood.
Holy rusted metal Batman.
Rusted metal. Wasn't that Batman and Robin?
Chris O'Donnell.
Oh, right, was that Batman Forever?
It's in the Riddler's lair. And he's like, what are you on about? He's like, this rusted metal is full of holes. Fuck off. Fuck off.
I think Chris O'Donnell actually did a decent job, despite the fact he looks about 40 in it. So he's 12 when he looks the same age as us.
Weird thing, Chris O'Donnell now looks exactly like Stephen Amell, who plays Green Arrow in the Arrow TV series. Okay.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
And I was just sat here, working on stuff, and the TV was on in the background.
Trousers down.
And, how do you work? And I'm just sat there thinking, oh my god, there's Stephen Amell on telly, and it's not an episode of Arrow. And it wasn't. Chris O'Donnell is now in some kind of CSI thing, okay, or some kind of procedural show. Yeah. And I was sort of thinking, right, he looks a lot like Stephen Amell. And then in this episode of whatever it is that he's in now, Stephen Amell had a guest appearance.
So there was two of them.
Blew my fucking mind. I really did.
Jeez.
Couldn't take it. I pulled my trousers up and everything.
I'm not even finished. But I'm walking out.
Yeah. Walking out of my own front room.
Robin and Alfred in those films had a good sort of rapport. There was a lot of good Robin-Alfred banter going on. But Kilmer played it very straight. Which I didn't mind Kilmer, but...
Kilmer had minimal impact for me. I think Clooney was a better... Both Batman and Rob and Bruce Wayne. Kilmer did fuck all. He was just a bit beige for me.
I suppose he was. It seemed like, because I saw it recently, it seemed like he was trying to just carry on the Keaton thing.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, because they probably told him to do that, but I know what you're saying. But George Clooney? I don't know. I'm not feeling that, mate.
I think he did the best with what he had, and what he had was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So. There's only so much you can do, I guess, with someone who's, I don't know, it's just, yeah, Batman and Robin. Burton wasn't even, Burton had an influence on Forever because he was producing it.
Yeah.
There was no Burton element going on in Schumacher, and it was just big, one fantabulous festival disco of atrocity. With shit fucking Arnie one-liners.
Oh, what do you mean, shit one-liners?
You know how
they were the best bit.
But if that's the best bit about a Batman film, there's something wrong with
you.
Yeah. I hate when they talk during the movie. Oh, fuck off.
You know how some actors never age?
Yeah.
Some actors always look young.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones has always looked 100.
He's
never looked... youthful.
It was hard working out which side was supposed to be the Two-Face side. You know what I mean? They all looked kind of wrinkly and fucked.
It was just a colour coding.
Dreadful.
Good hangover viewing there, Batman and Robin. Though.
No, I can imagine it is.
It's just funny. The back credit card.
Oh, sorry. It's always a hark back to a section we've already done. But say in Batman Earth 1, the comic.
Yeah.
A young Bruce Wayne gets into a bit of a altercation with a young Harvey Dent.
Okay.
And in it, he gets one good punch in, and the punch hits one side of his face, distorting just one side, and the teeth are coming out, and it's
sounds good.
It's just another beautiful bit of symbolism for the Earth One. So,
sweet.
Read that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to Batman fucking Robin, eh?
I watched all those Batman films in the same cinema back in Ashton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a proper old school picture house with like a balcony, and they used to have a smoking section, which was any seats who were on the left.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Batman and Robin when I was at college. And it was quite weird, actually, thinking back now. Like, I saw Batman when I was 9 in the same cinema. I saw Batman and Robin when I was at college doing my A-levels.
Mm.
And I remember coming out of Batman and Robin and thinking, I think I like that, but something wasn't right. But still, I think maybe... Did you ever get it when you, like, you'd seen it at the cinema, so you paid for it, so you were there, and you're like, yeah, that was all right, actually. And it's only with years later you realise how fucking atrocious it was.
It kind of went the opposite way for me. Because really? I remember I'd just started university, and I went with some friends to see it. I think it was my idea to go, and I just left, and I was walking back with this German chap Pete who used to share house with, and I think he had an alright time, and I just had a fucking terrible night, and just ruined my weekend. And then, but gradually, kind of grew to not really mind it, you know.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of watchable with a hangover.
Yeah, so I guess it's
got some moments.
Well, it's comprised of certain set pieces.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is Mr. Freeze and Riddler.
Yeah. No, it's just Freeze.
Poison Ivy, isn't it?
Exactly.
No, it's not Poison Ivy. It's not Poison Ivy.
But Poison Ivy is one of Bane's chicks. Is it Bane the show? Poison Ivy is one of Riddler's chicks. Who's on the other side?
No.
Riddler comes in, Poison Ivy one side, and
No. Riddler's just got some dames. But Two-Face has two actual dames who are kind of... One's Drew Barrymore, one's Debbie Mazar, who are like polar opposites, so like one's angelic and one's devilish. Yeah. Those are his dames. Riddler's just got some generic bitches. Poison Ivy has Bane as a bitch.
Right, I know.
Driving around with his fucking wrestling mask on and a fucking hat.
And a chauffeur hat.
That was what was missing from Dark Knight Rises.
Did they dance at the end?
Bane and a trilby. To be fair to that Bane, right? If that guy and Tom Hardy went at it, Tom Hardy got his ass kicked because that Bane was about twice his fucking size.
Yeah,
he was well pushed. He was made of rubber and special effects.
It was Tom Hardy was just ripped. So.
No, it was like some Lou Ferrigno style badass.
Was he?
Yeah. It was. Although at the end he turns into that little small limp little man going in an affy.
Terrible bastardising of an awesome villain.
It was a bit like when Mr. Burns plays Homer to. Wearing a nappy and going to the men's room going, I did a boo-boo on the floor. Get that shit out of here. So, okay, we're there.
Okay, so...
Can I just start by saying...
You can.
I don't want to take anything away from these films for anybody.
But you're going to, so you will.
Well, but my experience was immediately tainted by... Fuckwits! Like, as soon as that first picture of the arse end of the Tumblr came online, I instantly had people prodding me, going, "This is better than your Batman," and that instantly put a sour taste in my mouth.
What's your Batman? As in night shift Batman?
Keaton.
Oh right, okay. Your era is Batman, rather than the Batman you guys created.
We should plug the
crap out of it. It's a Batman special.
It's currently unavailable online, but if you get in touch with us, we can send you a copy because we've got hundreds of the fuckers.
In short, don't worry about it.
It was well written.
Why did it get taken down offline?
Oh, it just ran out.
The internet ran out.
The internet was like.
Well, can't you get it off your portfolio? Can't you? I mean, you've got to...
Yeah, well, we should...
Yeah, it is available in some capacity somewhere.
If anyone wants a hard copy, give us a shout.
But then... Hang on, we don't know what it is. No one knows what it is. We're just talking about it.
Okay.
Years back, when I first met Jim, actually, I got wind of his affinity for Batman, and I suggested that we collaborate on a Batman book together. And I went down a very verbose route and wrote a lot of words, and Jim accommodated it into 8 pages.
Became 9. I think it was going to be 3, and then
became
9.
A lot of things.
9 pages. Anyone knows anything about print pagination? That's a perfect number. that doesn't leave weird blank pages in any way, shape, or whatsoever.
I literally lost about 2 stone whilst working on it because I did it while I was working full time. But yeah, if you want a copy, I'm a bit embarrassed of the artwork because it was a long time ago. It was a few years ago, and I've totally changed the way I work now. But there's some panels I'm pretty proud of.
It's good stuff.
But
it's a good story.
Yeah, it's a good Fox hell of a story. Hell of a story.
Yeah. Basically, we...
Yeah, is
we,
he hiring?
We did a comic, a short fan comic of Batman. It's called Night Shift. If you're interested, give us a shout. We'll send you a copy.
Drop us a private message or something on our Facebook.
But moving on, we're in the Nolanverse now.
Can I just finish what I was going to say?
As long as you pull your trousers up and stop trumping on this, that'd be brilliant.
All I was going to say is that it was a bit tainted by dickheads saying, slagging off the cinema, my favourite cinematic Batman, which is still the 89 version, Burton version. The first one, not so much Returns, which is okay now, but yeah, that was it really. Just kind of, and also that I'd never really given Bruce Wayne much dues before. I never really gave a shit. I kind of wanted to see the Bruce Wayne story as much as I wanted to see fucking Judge Dredd on his day off at the zoo or something. So, you know, to credit,
I want to see Dredd at the zoo.
Yeah,
I see ice cream through his helmet.
The monkeys throw shit at Judge Dredd and goes home, puts his helmet on again, has a fights crime.
Does he have a grimace?
So yeah, but to credit Nolan, he seemed to base his trilogy around the Bruce Wayne story, which is quite admirable, and he pulled it off. So let's
again,
go
again. It was a, like the way the Burton Batman was a Batman we hadn't seen, the Nolan one was again one that we hadn't seen.
Yeah,
it was a fresh take on something that everyone thought they knew everything about. Mm-hmm. And
you go into it thinking, all right, Batman, so you're going to get some kind of Joker, but no, he loves seeing Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, exactly, Ra's al Ghul and the Scarecrow. Ra's al Ghul's
as hellish a fucking Batman villain as, you know, I mean, in recent years, certainly. I mean, people get quite hung up on Joker, but I mean, Ra's al Ghul is...
He's the nemesis, man.
He's fucking outrageous, yeah. And it's just so intertwined. You've got him doing his daughter, I mean, they share a fucking... kin blood in Damien. It's a hell of a
one thing I enjoyed. Twine. One thing I enjoyed about Batman Begins, as soon as I saw it, and you had that bit at the end where you've got on the rooftop, and it's like, oh, some guy doing some stuff leaves a calling card, and he says, "I'll look into it." I walked away from that thinking, I don't know if there's going to be a sequel to this. There might be, there might not be, but I can now go and watch the Burton Batman almost as a kind of
which we actually did, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, we did. We had, you cooked a curry, goddammit.
Although we got so pissed, we ended up only watching one of them.
Yeah, I remember you put on a fucking Batman cape and started going, Alfred, come get me,
Alfred,
I'm on fire. Yeah,
detracted from some of the seriousness. So, credit Nolan, he gave Batman back his dignity, which I did feel bad for Schumacher, because Schumacher's a great director, like Lost Boys and Falling Down, and they obviously put the creative handcuffs on him, so I'll give Schumacher his dues.
Oh, he just went old and mental. Which don't feel bad for him. He's clearly gone fucking mad with the stupid movies.
But Phone Booth is alright. That was after...
Was that Joel Schumacher?
Yeah.
I watched that the other day. I really enjoyed that.
It's a good, not a bad flick, man. And also, I took my mum to see Phantom of the Opera, the film. And he directed that, and it's very fucking gothic. And you can really see what he would have done if given the chance... actually have fun with Batman rather than do what he's told.
Beef with those Batman isn't Joel Schumacher, it's Akiva Goldsman who wrote it, and well, fuck you guy, fuck you Akiva Goldsman, you big twat. Ron Howard's films, like The Da Vinci Code and that kind of shit, it's like safe shit that he writes. He's the guy who's responsible for the big mincy disco that Batman and Robin is. But back on topic, Nolan, like you say, gave him his dignity back. And
until he brought wishy-washy into it.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not as close as you guys. What does he mean by wishy-washy?
I don't know what he's on about.
What's he talking about?
Explain
yourself, Jim.
It's the way Neil Adams used to draw Ra's al Ghul. It's reminding me of that guy from some shit pantomime. It was like a sort of dodgy stereotype running a dish.
Yeah, but it was Liam Neeson with the same facial hair, so what's wrong with that?
Well, technically in the comic, like, Ducard was a different character, which I had a bit of a problem with.
Yeah, but he wasn't actually Ducard.
Also, he sounds a lot like you in bad-mouthing Neil Adams.
Yeah? Digging yourself into it.
I know a guy with two sons. One's called Neil, one's called Adam. You had to take this up with him.
Ground, yeah. Oh, mate. I did buy his recent book, that Batman Odyssey, which...
you know, credit to the guy, you know, comes back out of nowhere with a 12-issue story, but heavy read. And also, the artwork's good, but his colouring's some of the worst colouring I've ever seen.
Neil Adams.
You know, when, like, the old guys kind of find Photoshop, and he wasn't colouring it, but they kind of go crazy. They like to go crazy with the effects, don't they? And gradients and dirty Gaussian blurs, and yeah, I struggled with it big time. But you know,
how are we pronouncing Gaussian? I've only ever seen it written down. I've never heard anyone say it.
Right.
I've always said Gaussian.
Maybe. I'm sure you're right.
No,
it's
you could be.
That's right.
Gaussian.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Gaussian Coxa.
But yeah, what I have read of his, you know, his sort of classic stuff was you know, faultless. Yeah. But Odyssey for me was a tough one. And that's not to say people won't enjoy it. I'm sure Adams fans will probably lap it up, you know.
I had a cat called
Neil Adams.
Ollie.
What's that?
You're stepping my point a bit more before I actually
Sorry.
No. You want to apologize. Anyway, I had a cat called Ollie, and it died, sadly.
Oh, sorry.
It met head-on with the car.
Oh, fuck.
Nice one, Jim.
Sorry, mate.
Come on, you're not laughing now, are you? Fucking nuts, come on. Keep laughing. Anyway, my cat died, and my dad says, everything's great, blah, blah, blah. And he just gave me a copy of the... Neil Adams, Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
Okay. I think about buying this. Yeah,
it is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm reading it. I'm thinking, so in order to get me over my cat Ollie dying, he gives me the adventures of Hal and Oliver, Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess
that's nice. Yeah. That's touching.
It's a bit upsetting as well.
Yeah. No,
that's
nice.
So that's worth a purchase.
Oh fuck yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll give it a whirl. Cause I think
it's still worth it. I only did it like a couple of years ago, relatively recently, you know, for the source material. But I'd happily do it again.
Good stuff.
So should you.
Hey.
And so should you.
I will.
I'll tell you what I did buy recently. Some of the old Mike Grell Green Arrow from the '80s. Excellent. Worth. Longbow Hunters, wasn't it? Or something.
Yes, Longbow Hunters.
I don't mean to interject, guys, but I think we've got a little bit off the topic.
We're
halfway through the Nolan-verse.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, kind of, but the Green Arrow was always seen as a foil to Batman. He's got no powers, he's got loads of money, he's self-trained, he's got an arrow cave, he's got an arrow over here, he's got a young ward. Also, he's got like a hipster tash.
Sounds like a prick.
Well,
he always had a nice young bird on his arm.
Yeah.
He was a bit of Roger Moore type character in that sense, wasn't he? Well, his girlfriend's always looked about half his age.
You should read Quiver.
I've read Quiver.
Alright.
Kevin Smith's one.
Yeah,
it's good.
Good stuff.
Good book.
It's not as good as Daredevil. Guardian Devil.
Guardian Devil, yeah.
That's a fucking wonderful book. But I'm rereading it.
Solid tome.
And I'm realising that, again, Joe Quesada drew it, and he's struggling to fit in the fucking art around Kevin Smith's words. So I kind of...
Jab as a picture.
Where are we?
We're
in the middle Begins of the Green Arrow podcast.
Are we still on Begins, or have we moved on?
I'm good with... I think we've spoken about Begins good enough. Dark Knight,
here we go.
Solid.
Oh, well, I know for a fact that you're not a fan, Jim. James are.
Well, what I would say... Well, yeah, go on, you guys talk first.
I think...
I'm taking a mediatory role here, I think.
For me, The Dark Knight was a world away from Batman Begins, because Batman Begins had like that fake shanty town, the Narrows and stuff.
Blade
Runner
world,
yeah. Yeah, and then suddenly we're in Dark Knight, which is clearly... It was shot in Chicago, and it's clearly a living, breathing city.
Yeah.
And there's none of that grimy shit, and we've just... Essentially, we're in heat turf here, Michael Mann's heat. It's just bank robbery... And it's a crime saga in which Batman features. It's good. And I think this is where your issue comes up, in that none of what you've got all the key players there, but none of them are doing what you want them to be doing. And I think that's where this Elseworlds comes in again. It's like, this is not the Joker wreaking havoc in an Axis Chemicals manner, doing people in with Smilex and shit. This is a guy who's got some fucked up agenda of nothing, which is just chaos. And it's I thought it was interesting, and it was good. And I don't think it's trying to be a blueprint, a kind of final word on the matter. It's just a different telling of a tale that we've heard before.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, I think where I'm coming from is, firstly, Nolan. I really like his films in general. I mean, I prefer his non-Bat films, like, you know, like Prestige and Memento. I went to see that about 4 times at the cinema. I thought it was fantastic. You know, real game changer.
Probably once is enough. You kind of know what's going on.
I did see it 4 times. Just really on my arm. And then what else did it was Inception, was it? And his new one looks his new one looks
Interstellar. The Bonerometer is on Jumex.
Exactly.
For that.
It looks like it's going to kick ass of all these. And I only recently saw Insomnia, which I thought was Pacino's best film in about 20 fucking years. Loved it. But I think my main beef is, firstly, I really like what he did with Bruce Wayne. I thought, I never gave a shit about Bruce Wayne before. I thought he was a redundant character, and he did something with Bruce Wayne really interesting. Like, because I didn't really see Bale as that character, but he did a good job of it, you know. And he fully rounded Bruce Wayne. It was the Bruce Wayne story. I think my two main issues, okay. And I don't want to fucking piss on anyone's bonfire. You know, I'm not looking to get abuse for this, which I'm sure I will. But first issue would be, because Nolan's coming from a place where he's not grown up reading the characters, some of the finesse of Batman was lost. And one example would be the guy from Full Monty. Full Monty guy's in a car, and it's his big appearance as Batman. So he pulls him out of the car.
Where on Batman Begins it?
Yes. Well, okay, just going back, just to Nolan in general. Pulls a Full Monty bloke out of the car. I got a fucking stiffy. That was his line. Batman gives it the whole "I'm Batman" line or something similar, and it feels like at that point he should just zip away and that should be it. But instead, says that, headbutts an old man, growls at him, and then does what I think he should do. And there's just a lot of that very crude, thuggish behaviour, and also, something about his fighting style didn't sit right. Like, say, like a new Captain America film, the way he fought in that just felt perfect for me. Like, really brutal but fast and a bit ninja-y. Mm. And whereas Batman, there was a lot of elbows flying and headbutts and...
You're just bigging up fucking Keaton's Batman for elbowing a guy from behind with a fucking in the Solar Plexus and then just punching him in the face. You're all right with that?
I think sinister cool is what I want from Batman.
You don't want gratuitous violence.
He had some sinister cool, but that voice didn't help.
The voice, you know? Yeah, I'm with you on the voice, man. I'm with you on the voice.
The look was great. I don't think there's been a better bat outfit than, you know, Nolan's Batman. He looks fantastic. There's no denying that. So that was the first thing, was just felt that he lacked a bit of that finesse, and it could have held something back. And second one would be, I think the rating was a problem for me, like because they're trying, you know, they're making these massive, big fuck off budget films. They've got to get kids in there. They can't afford not to, right? So they've got to make it a 12A, which is, you know, in our terms, is equivalent of a PG, I guess, if we'd been a kid. But I think it's fair to say they're not really kids' films, are they? They're kind of an adult film. They really should be our equivalent of a 15.
They're a neutered adult film, really.
Yeah, well, it's just those kind of, at the point where I want Joker to fucking kill everyone in the room, he's kind of not allowed to do that. Say, like, and they get around that in clever ways. Like, it's quite bloodless, but you don't always need it. Like, the pencil scene is a fantastic example of, you know, deliver a great Jokery way to kill someone without having to really show a nasty, horrible death. Mm. They kind of show it without showing it in a great way, but then There's a lot of scenes where Joker's kind of walking around wafting a knife, and then he's not really allowed to do anything with the knife. And or the bit where he shows up at a party, hey! And I think in any comic, everyone at that party would be fucking dead. And in the film, there's like a clever way they get out of him having to do that. And
I think going on that, later in the film, there's a pile of money and Chow's on top of it.
Yeah,
and the Joker just sets it on fire, and Chow's just tied up on top. and he's burnt the thing. So there's he's clearly the guy's dying.
At that point, you kind of forget about him, though. I mean, where that bit suffered in face of the pencil scene was, I mean, I don't know anyone who's seen the film who hasn't actually thought, oh God, a pencil went right in there, and it's kind of right in the back of his brain, and he just imagined every bit of flesh moving inside his head. He may not have died immediately. I mean, that poor bastard, you feel for him more than you feel for the guy on top of the fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Like, the guy was a non-character, whereas Chow was actually, he was the accountant. And I think, but
he's got that smackable face. You kind of want him to die.
But I'd like to see it. Is what I'm saying. I'd like to see his tumbling body on fire. Batman Returns style. Instead of a tumbling guy on fire. Yeah. That's not gonna kill a thing.
Elm Street style. Yeah.
I think for me in that film, there's two great Joker scenes. Where one's the pencil one, and the other one's. I really like the hospital stuff where he's dressed as the nurse. There's no denying that's pure Joker, and he did a great job. He did a great job. I just feel like just for one, and a kind of analogy, if that's the right phrase, but if you took the violence out of Watchmen, what the fuck would Rorschach be? He'd be a quarter of the character for me. Like, when the greatest scene for me in the Watchmen is where Rorschach hacks up some. Child molester.
Yes, it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
Nasty as fuck, and without seeing it, it would be nothing, I think. And I think that I'd love to see Dark Knight with that kind of adult rating. I bet we'll get it one day, but just that kind of extra bit of edge that it just sort of lacked for me, just because of, not because of anyone's acting abilities or anything. They were great, but that's all I'm saying.
I think it's hamstrung by studios need to make money and they need to get kids
overseas. Exactly. Yeah. So I get it.
Batman's popularity will be working against him in this respect. Yeah. I mean, he's arguably the.
That's why you can get something like Judge Dredd that's just brutal as fuck.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And no one goes to see it.
He's always had a level of underground. I mean, if time passed and it's a Stallone one, you can do what you want. It's like he signed a waiver. He's pretty much dead. We can do what we want to him at this
point.
Yeah, it's a bit of a. I mean, it's a crime film like that doesn't get a sequel simply because,
it's still not off the table yet, man.
Oh, I hope that's the case. Yeah.
Has it got past internet petitions yet?
I'm still getting emails from those petitions. Yeah. There's a nice video from Carl Urban going, carry on! Like, do it!
They cancelled Almost Human. I need to pay my rent.
Yeah. He showed up briefly in that Riddick flick, actually. I just saw that. The new Riddick flick. He's at the start.
No?
Yeah, which is all right actually. I just saw it on the. I've got like Amazon Prime.
That
Amazon Prime.
And it came in the back. They sneaked in via the Love Film back door. Suddenly, I've got Amazon on my Blu-ray player.
Dirty bastards.
So yeah, but don't let me shoot it down. It's a well-loved film, and Nolan's a brilliant filmmaker. And I certainly got it a lot more by the third one.
In a desolate countryside, the twilight sky for miles around is illuminated by the glare of a raging fire that is making an inferno of the ancient prison barracks, which dates back to the time of the Revolution. Outside the blazing wooden structure, a half dozen of Mr. Jones' followers stand watching in awe, while to one side, smiling broadly, the rabble-rouser stands with Ed, the man who was trained to impersonate Batman.
Well, Ed, that's the end of Batman and Robin.
Oh, a tough way to go, Mr. Dealer.
Huh? Feel sorry for him, do you?
Well, kind of.
You'll get over it when we start spending Batman's money. Ed.
What's the matter?
Where are the suitcases?
What suitcases?
The ones with Batman's money.
Why, I thought you brought them out.
I thought you did.
Holy smoke.
Come on, we've got to get them.
No, wait, we can't go back in there. The roof will go down any minute.
We've got to. There's over $1 million worth of securities in those suitcases. They'll be burned up.
Or we'll be killed. It isn't.
No, we won't. The suitcases are in the kitchen near the door. For heaven's sake, come on, hurry.
Well, all right.
As Jones, Batman's impersonator, rush into the rear of the blazing barracks, risking their lives to rescue their stolen loot. There is a rending crash,
and the roof above them crashes down upon them. And at that moment, having finally learned the address of Jones' headquarters, Superman streaks through the skies toward the blazing barracks, then plummets down into the mass of blazing, collapsing wreckage, where he finds Batman and Robin, who lie unmoving. As Superman arrives too late to save the dynamic duo, as the rabble-rouser Jones and Batman's impersonator, who, driven by greed and bigotry, pulled down destruction upon their own heads, destroyed the courageous Batman and Robin, too. There are more thrills and surprises in tomorrow's smashing climax of our story, fellows and girls, so don't miss it. Tune in, same time, same station.
Donna Rises.
Yeah.
Rises. How did that pan out for you guys? I watched it the first time. Thought it was brilliant. Blew my freaking brain. Watched it again recently in the comfort of my own home.
With the trousers off.
How do you watch movies?
Cut on your lap.
Stroking. Nothing but stroking. Anyway, I watched it again, and it's cheesy. The dialogue's just crap. It's not masterfully written. It's not a great film.
I'm with you there, but
I recoil.
It had impact for me. I've watched it about four times now in total. Mm. At the cinema, we've spoken about films that we cried at.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises made me actually sob. I wasn't just filling up. I was actually sobbing like. And I was so fucked off when Cineworld put on the lights so I couldn't enjoy the credits and compose myself. I had to put my sunglasses on in the cinema. But I started crying, like proper crying, like a little bitch with a skin knee. Mm-hmm. I was just bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And it had an impact on me. And I've watched each time, it still makes me fill up a little bit. But I'm still with you on the script isn't great.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
clunky lines,
freestyle there? Rap Bane video that was going Bane, around.
Yes, that's my name. I'm coming for you, Bruce Wayne. Stronger, faster, critically insane.
What are you
going
to do?
Oh, have you not seen it? I can put it on if you want to.
I found it easier to swallow, and it kind of helped me enjoy the previous older ones more. But it did kind of go on a lot actually. There seemed to be an hour where there was no Batman at all. It felt like that was the hour where Batman should have been kicking out.
There's minimal fucking Batman in that film.
Yeah.
Well, you could argue that of The Dark Knight. I mean, it's a Joker film. I mean, Batman's there. Yeah. He kind of facilitates the Jokerness. He
shows up on his mobility trolley now and again. Like, buy some French loaves. I'm going to get my ass kicked for this.
Don't worry about it.
I did like Bane. I was never like a massive Bane comic fan, so I didn't mind them pissing around with him. When you've got a bit less invested, you don't mind as much, do you, what happens.
Exactly, that's the reason I'm enjoying the Marvel Universe
by the
medium of cinema. Because I don't give a fuck about any of it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing things though sometimes.
Life's too short. You haven't got time in your life. I was thinking the other day, I'm not seeing The Wire. I need to rewatch The Wire. And then I started thinking, how many times in my life am I going to watch The Wire? I'm going to think twice, tops. Do you know what I mean? You haven't got time to get through your Marvel fucking stuff. Don't bother with it. Stick with DC. It's fine.
You could have bought it dirt cheap off my wife, who I sense were.
That's not all I hear.
Oh, no, you didn't, sir.
She was going to this car boot sale, and I thought I'm probably not going to watch The Wire in its entirety again for a long time, so I sent her with The Wire, and I said, don't come back for less than 20 quid for that, please. And some guy instantly got it and bartered it down to, like, fucking 12 quid. I was well pissed off. And it was still going second hand online for 30. So yeah, I wasn't happy that day.
Well, it smells to me like you should have just sold it on eBay. You shouldn't be dissing your wife.
Yeah.
box set of the Wire?
Yeah, yeah.
The complete Wire?
Yeah, the whole thing.
For 12 quid?
12 quid, yeah. Some guy saw it and went... And just...
The person goes, why wouldn't you keep it? It's just...
Well...
I mean, I sat there...
Is there even a sign of a Blu-ray HD version of that? I don't think it's even...
I don't think there is,
There was whispers. There was whispers, okay. But only like American release, and I'm not sure the PS4 will do.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, you seem to be... You think Sony will... No, I can't. I had an American Assault on Precinct 13 Blu-ray.
Right.
Sat there for about a year and a half until I just finally gave up and gave it to Rob because I thought, I'm just never going to watch this. Yeah.
There's a website that tells you the region coding, and a lot of them are region free. Like Miami Vice, it hasn't got a region. If it doesn't have a region, then it's gold.
So people want to buy that?
Oh, you dick. Fuck you, Miami Vice is fucking amazing. And fuck yourself.
Sorry, man. I'm being so mean to James. What, Rises?
Rises.
I thought it was alright. It helped me understand Nolan's sort of taking it on an Elseworld slant. And I also thought Hathaway was a pretty ace Catwoman, which really surprised me because I was expecting pure shit.
I also liked...
She did it right. She jumped out the window. It was just like...
Yeah.
Oh, the fact that...
Good jump.
Oh, the fact that... Oh, and those heels as well.
She's smoking out as well.
Oh, the fact that Marion Cotillard was turned out to be Talia. When she revealed herself to be Talia, I actually went... in the cinema.
Although she has the worst death in cinema history.
Terrible death. Terrible death. Rubbish.
Scooby-Doo death.
But there's a lot to like about that film, man. I know you were dissing Michael Caine earlier.
I wasn't dissing him.
Every scene that he had, I was filling up. Yeah, and then I started bawling at the end. Maybe I'm just very sensitive in my old age.
Never.
I said to your father, I'm going to pull your pants down every day.
Never.
So,
all right.
Maybe we should.
I think we should nip this in the bud.
Yeah, because we're
keeping. Yeah, you guys got to fuck off. I've got to go to bed.
Hal's got his. He's got to get his satchel tomorrow morning, and still got to do his maths homework.
Good school. I've got. If I'm not first at the queue in the tuck shop, all the flapjacks will be gone. Jesus.
So we're going to bypass music.
We're not going to bypass it. We'll be coming back to it.
Okay, yeah, we will.
Well, we could do it one of two ways. We could either... Because we've not even spoken about the fucking Batman versus Superman shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we could do that.
Let's reconvene.
I smell a part three.
All right, I'm just going to say thanks to Hal for having us. Thanks for hosting us.
Yeah,
no problem.
Thanks for joining in. Thanks to
Hal's.
Hal's good lady, Louise.
Yeah, thank you.
For accommodating us. Louise.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm going to bed.
No,
okay, good night.
And we'll be back in some capacity. Hal, thanks for being part of Meet for the Beast Batman special.
It's a pleasure. It's absolutely a pleasure.
We'll,
I'm very tired now. I'm very sorry. But yeah, great. Hope everything goes great. And I'll see everyone guys soon. Remember.
Great stuff.
I'll walk it from here. Go for it.
Cheers, Hal.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Hal for taking part. It was really good to have him on board. We're not quite done with Batman. We've decided to do a bit of a Batman overspill in episode 7. I think it's just at the start. We're gonna just kind of whip through like the new Scott Snyder's flick that's currently in production. You've got Gotham. Gotham just came out, which McVeigh's been getting into, so I need to check it out. Then we've got Bat Music, because I think music for Batman is as important as it has been to, say, James Bond, so I don't think we could brush over that. And we're going to get soulful. We're going to perform something soulful for all our Bat Brothers out there. Right, we're going to end on a track which has been kindly donated by Bachelor Records, bachelorrecords.com, who are a Austrian record label. Some really interesting stuff on there, like just reading out some of the names of the stuff they put out. We've got Dead Ghosts, Sonic Chicken 4, The Makeouts, The Big Itch, The New Swears, all kinds of interesting stuff. Looks like a bit of a lot of punk, post-punk and other weird and wacky stuff on there, so well worth a peep. So yeah, thanks to Elmar. Also big thanks to the band Batman and Robin themselves. So we're going to end on this killer track. It's called Who the Fuck is Superman?
Look, Robin!
Holy macaroni, Batman!
Who the fuck is Superman?